CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes. And as you know, this is Cliff Central. We're live at the moment. And I'm going to give you our WhatsApp number just in case you get the time or you have a question for our guest or for us. WhatsApp number here is 0797482090. I'm Shemaine Harris and I am here with Palisa Mabuya as well. So, welcome to the show.
She's forgetting about me.
Oh, do you want me?
Hi, everyone. I'm Liesl Tom, and it's my pleasure to be here. It's a bit strange today, Shemaine. There's no one with us in studio. Our guest is from the Western Cape, and she's joining us on Skype. Dora Diaz is a conscious energy channel and sound and space shifter. Hi, Dora.
Hi. How are you? Yeah.
It's lovely to have you on our show. Thank you so much for your time.
Hello, Dora. I'm Shemaine. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Dora, let's just start with the way you are described on your website as a conscious energy channel and sound and space shifter. Now, what on earth is that?
It's really quite simple for me. Means that I support people in living through levels of consciousness, always higher, always closer to whom they truly are. You know, we're so much more than just this third dimensional being.
And the sound and space shifter?
Yeah, I work with sound, with beings like the Athors and other beings, and the sound is used to open portals to shift energy.
Dora, I am so sorry to interrupt you, but this line is breaking. We're going to try and get you on a better line. Just bear with us. We'll be with you shortly.
And then we're gonna re-ask those questions because, like, sound and I don't know. I mean, there were some things there that I really need to.
Yes, no, I need to know what these Athors. Any case, we'll get to that, Shemaine. But you know, the reason why I wanted to talk about ley lines is years ago I went to Margaret Roberts' farm, the herb lady, and. Someone told me there's a ley line on this farm.
Right.
And I walked on where I was shown is the ley line. And I had the weirdest physical sensation. I felt like I was shrinking.
Really?
And ever since then, I've been fascinated with this idea of ley lines. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what they really are, if they really exist. And that's something we'll ask Dora. But just the idea that you can have this weird physical sensation from, you know, and I'm not sure if it's because people told me about it or.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's energy, so you feel energy. I'm also very incomplete. It's not even the right word when it comes to, you know, ley lines. I know very little about it. And I always found it quite technical because I never got someone who can actually explain it to me properly. So I obviously, because we're talking about ley lines, I had to go and, you know, I went and had a listen and a look and so on. And there are different variations of explanation. So I think I'm a little more confused than
you were at the beginning
when I started. Yeah, because now, you know, everyone have different explanations for these grids. Others are going like, no, there's the earth line and there's the energy line and there's, and I'm going, oh, hold up. You know, we'll talk to Dora.
Well, I think Dora is back on the line. Hello, Dora. Welcome back. You're going to have to repeat for us what you said about the sound and space shifter, because there's something you said there. The line was breaking, but I wanted to ask you. So please just tell us your sound and space shifting work. What do you do? Who do you work with? Say more.
And what is that?
Yeah, sound is something that I use to shift spaces into a higher frequency. You can open portals and you can move things, you know, from one dimension to another. And I work with sound, I work with other beings like the apples or many beings, Mother Earth. Sound is multifaceted. It can be used for people and, you know, simply is to change frequency, to change vibration, to go from one dimension to the other consciously. And being consciousness, our consciousness, to move into more of who we are today, not just third dimensional.
Laura, when you say you work with other beings, I've never heard of these. Did you say Athors? Who are they?
Yeah.
And how do you spell it? How do you spell it?
Athors are beings that have been communicating with physical beings like myself for many, many, many years. They're well known in Egypt. And many other places. They come from outside of our galaxy.
So they're aliens?
Well, I don't know. My description of aliens is probably quite different from yours. My description of alien is anything that is not in a third dimensional body. So okay. you could say it's angels, it is whoever doesn't have a third-dimensional body right now, like you and me, you know, an extraterrestrial. It's not on a Earth body. That's my definition of alien.
You know, when you put it like that, you make it less woo-woo and you make it more tangible and less scary.
Yeah, it's really not woo-woo, you know. Woo-woo is everything and anything anyone doesn't know about, doesn't understand. Once you understand things, they're no longer woo. And I think that's true for every single thing we learn. You know, when you're in third grade and you look at your brother or sister or cousin in university, you know, you don't understand. But when you're a little further ahead with understanding, then that's what woo is no longer.
Right.
And that's where science is also making things a lot clearer than they were in the Middle Ages. Dora, you work with sound, and I want to ask you, the sound quality at the moment isn't too great. Is there something you can do from your side as a sound shifter to make it clearer for us?
Woo! You have just gone there, Wall.
You are serious.
She definitely
wants me to make the sound.
No. Well, I don't know I don't know what that means. I'm just wondering, you know, the sound quality at the moment isn't too great. We are really straining to hear you. And I was wondering if there's, you know, something, is there something you can do?
I don't know, but you can ask.
Okay, so when you ask, who would you be asking then? Would it be all these beings that you work with, or who?
I would be asking many things. Certainly, I would be asking through my own higher self. That's my first source of call, who I am as an interdimensional being. And then, certainly, I would be calling on definitely Mother Earth. We live in her body, her energetic body.
Wow, we live in Mother Earth's energetic body. Is that what you
absolutely
just said?
Absolutely.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's hot. That's so hot. I'm seeing myself as a little cell, you know, a particle in the body. So when
absolutely
she sneezes, I can be out.
Well, Dora,
I don't really know how much you sort of understand, but you know you have an energetic body, don't you?
I have a what? Sorry, that line again. Maybe you should do that.
You've got an energetic body. You've got an aura. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So there's Mother Earth. So where do you think you're living?
Yeah, but you know, when someone breaks it down to you like that, you go, oh, man, I got up today just for that.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I do is to help people to remember they're more than they think they are. So I'm quite used to breaking things down in a way that is
tangible,
more understandable. Yeah. I mean, my background is computer science and analytical chemistry, you know, research and pharmaceuticals and all that weird stuff. So for me, energetic in the sense of science as well, it's not a big deal to wrap my head around and speak of in very simple terms. It is actually simple, you know.
And your ability to clarify things and make them simple is quite well known in the Western Cape. You came highly recommended. And the moment someone said to me, you want to speak to this Dora woman on your show, I got the sense that, yes, please, can we have her? Now, Dora, we said that we would start our discussion by talking about the ley lines. What are they?
Well, ley lines are, you understand about acupuncture meridian in your body, Chinese medicine.
Well, we don't understand altogether, but if you can break it down for us so that someone who hasn't heard of this can also slot in.
Yeah, the energetic channels, the same way as we've got our blood vessels and our muscles, we also have energetic channels, which are called in Chinese medicine, which is a very old technique. They are called meridians, mm-hmm. energetic meridians. And so the ley lines are like energetic meridians for Mother Earth. You see, Mother Earth for me is just another being like you are. It's just got a different shape. Mm-hmm. And so she also has her own energetic bodies and her blood vessels, you know, and her channels of water, and so those are ley lines.
Okay.
They are strong energetic bodies or channels that come up at the surface in some places of the earth and go deep into the earth, and they travel in the planet and they connect powerful places. Powerful because they act the surface, so it's easy for us to feel them. There are many energetic channels that move within the earth, and they come up at places like Chichen Itza and Palenque and Stonehenge and Machu Picchu and, you know, many, many other places, the pyramids, and there's too many to count, you know.
Okay, before we go any further, the sound is really killing it. So are you on a spot where you can maybe change positions where we might have a clearer line?
Well, you can try my landline.
All right, hold on, Dora, don't give your landline.
Not over the phone.
We will give it to Palesa.
That's right.
And then she will phone you on it.
Okay.
But for the moment, it sounded a bit better, Shmi.
It sounded a bit better, but then, you know, as you start,
and
then
it
crackles.
Terrible. Dora, we have to apologize to you because the information you are giving is so interesting, but the quality of the line is really just detracting from it.
Okay. So Palesa will take over from us now. So we're going to continue our conversation and rah-rah on air while she gets your landline, and then she can give you, then you can give her the number and she'll call you right back, and then we'll be back. Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you, Dora. Yay.
Palesa, bye.
I was really hoping that she could do some magic, you know? Sound shifting to me sounds like, you know, something that could solve this problem. But, of course, you know, and I'm not being facetious.
You were actually serious.
No, I was serious.
I was hoping that you'd do it, you know?
Exactly. Because some of our guests have abilities that are really sometimes quite special.
Mm-hmm. So that is true, you know. And the thing is just you normally you don't want to, you know, put them in a position where they feel like they have to do certain things, you know, on air, which they'd rather not do. But that I wanted to see, you know, or hear.
I have no idea what it would be that she does when she does the sound shifting. Mm-hmm. But from my reaction when I asked about it, it sounds like she is using physical sound. It's not tuning into energy and fine tuning the sound on an energy level.
Yeah.
It is using physical sound.
I wonder if she uses that on the ley lines and so on. But we have to ask her what's the difference, because. I mean, I don't even want to go into that, but there were some things when the one man explained it, I was like, okay.
What did he
Okay, maybe I should wait till Dora comes online. So that if I go off, then she can go like, no, not that way. You know, or Palisa, is she back online? Yay!
Fantastic.
You're walking in here and we're like, nah, she's not back online. So, alrighty, you're going to do the hello again?
Hi, hello again. Now we met, yes.
That's much better. And Dora, you know, if I came across as being facetious or making fun of you, it was really a little bit of desperation because we want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Okay, so ley lines, once again, please.
Okay, so ley lines are channels of energy. Just like we human beings have channels of energy called acupuncture meridian, and many others. I mean, we've got many other energetic channels. The earth does too. Those are called ley lines, and they surface at the top, at the surface of the earth, and they go deep into her, and where we find them to be really strong is where it dips more to the earth, you know, to the surface. And they are very, very old. We can connect to them for those who are sensitive enough. And by sensitive, I just mean they've developed these abilities. I mean, we all have the same abilities. We just need to develop them.
Dora, when we took the first break because of the communication problem, I told Tremaine that years ago I walked on what was said to me is a ley line, and I had the weirdest physical sensation of my body actually shrinking. Yes. Is that something that people experience? Was that a real ley line?
It depends. We all feel it differently. It's the same way as we all look at color slightly differently. And so our sensations are different. For some people, it will feel cool or it feel warm or they'll get what is called those holes, you know, those movements. And some people see their energy. I mean, you know, that again, I'm going to repeat myself by saying that we all have these abilities. We just haven't developed them, you know.
So people who see them, would that be the similar kind of seeing as seeing an aura?
Yeah, absolutely. Energies can be seen, you know, and as I said, Mother Earth is one. So and these energetic points are really powerful, and unfortunately we don't always treat them with enough respect.
Do they have a symmetrical pattern, or are they randomly scattered across the world?
Yeah, I don't think anything is random. that's the first statement I'm going to make. I don't believe in accidents. But I do believe that they've been placed there a very long time ago, much, much longer than what the history of human beings knows about, those who can remember well beyond, and this is what some people would also go, hoo-hoo, what's he smoking? But for me, it's real. You know, we are much, much older than we believe we are. And so those meridians, those ley lines, which are also, there isn't just ley lines, there's crystalline grids. There are song lines.
Say that again. What lines was that? That
it's
like?
Called a song line.
Soul line.
Song.
Song. Song. Song as in sound, singing.
Okay. Sound lines.
Can you hear those songs, Dora?
Internally. Not. I can't hear them with my own physical ears. You know, you've got various levels of your senses. There are the internal senses and the external senses, and most of us only know about the external senses. But if you have developed your internal senses, yes, you can hear it, and you can see it, and you can feel it. So what, and therefore you can work with it.
So what are the differences between, or is there a difference? Because you hear different types of lines when they speak about these grids. It's like, what are the earth lines and what are the ley lines? Can you differentiate for us?
Yeah, the ley lines are strong energies that are just channels of energy that move. You know, like in your house, you've got the plumbing, mm-hmm. you've got your electricity, your wire, and you've got the most powerful places, like where they come at the surface, like Machu Picchu, Chichen Itza, Palenque, the pyramids of Giza, places like Adam's Calendar and Pumalanga. And then you've got the crystalline grids, which are really composed of all the crystals, powerful conglomerates of crystals that support this planet, that support life on this planet.
And that's the earth lines.
Yeah, crystalline grids is how I call them.
Okay.
And then there are the song lines. And the song lines, S-O-N-G lines, are well known by people like the African people, quite a lot of the African people, but they're not the only ones. And they're very, very old. They were established kind of at the beginning of the earth.
Dora, I've heard it speculated that yes. the pyramids were built by sound or with sound, or that the stones at Stonehenge were moved using sound.
Yes.
Do these things fall in the same kind of realm?
Yeah. Sound is amazing. And if you, I can't remember the name, but I can certainly SMS it or email it to you, where they can float objects with sound. You know, you put two speakers, one on either side. I think it's called somatics. And you know, you can float a particle. You can float. So science, fortunately, because the more of us who really start to see these things, we're breaking through our own barriers of forgetfulness, you know, we're remembering. So, yes, it is completely in the realm of possibility. Though I must say, I wasn't there. I don't remember.
When you say, when you keep on referring to remembering, and you said we are much older than we think,
yes.
What on earth do you mean by that?
Well, I mean our spirit, our soul.
Obviously, yes. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, so you know, I'm one of these funny ones, hoo-hoo, you'd say, funny ones that believe in reincarnation. So there's a soul's life, and then there's body's life, you know. And I believe each body leaves us with the opportunity to remember, to make choice, to decide what, you know, to remember. And so I do remember many lifetimes. My soul, which is now in this body called Dora.
And would this remembering, is it all just past lives, or is it even before the earth was created? How far back do you remember?
I remember a lot. I remember well beyond having a physical body on earth. I remember arriving on earth. And I'm speaking of my soul on various occasions as the earth became seeded. And yes,
okay,
I know.
Can you give us an example of when you, how do you arrive on earth? Or you know, just give us an example of the different times that you have arrived, or the modes of traveling that you came in with.
Yeah, there was the sort of normal sort of flying vehicle that you kind of arrive in and you space travel. But there is also something called the macabre, which when beings who understand what the macabre is, which is your energetic field, together you can travel that way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really need what's called a ship.
It's very interesting that you mention that, because we spoke about the macabre a few weeks ago, and there were some questions that were left unanswered for me, like,
yes.
have you physically traveled in it from one point to another?
Not myself in this body, no. Not Dora's body.
But other
people,
bodies?
Yes, and there are people on the planet now who are able to do that.
Sure. I have to say, I find that almost incredible, absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of what I speak of is the sort of stuff that you're either willing to learn about and have a flexible mind that considers possibilities, or again, is considered to be unreal. But then so many things are that we never knew thousands of years ago, and we do now. Fire.
And as you mentioned earlier, you know, science is starting to show that some of the things we thought was completely batshit crazy 10 years ago.
Absolutely. Quantum physics has done a lot to bridge that gap. I mean, we now talk about electrons moving from dimension to dimension because there are instruments powerful enough that you can see the electrons in your molecules disappear and then reappear. And it's proven that we can, with our minds, change particles. Particles can move in a different direction by just as being able to communicate with these particles that was not considered possible. But luckily, the instruments of observation have become powerful enough that we can prove the things that the mystics have been seeking for.
And that is one of the reasons I love living in the year and now, because we are seeing more and more proof of things that people thought years ago was just, you know, absolutely woo-woo. Now, Dora, when we know there is a ley line on a specific part of the Earth,
yes.
Is it beneficial for us as humans to build a habitat there? Should we stay clear? Should we? What's the point?
Yeah, it really depends. There are ley lines that for many people it would be difficult to live in day after day after day because they are powerful energetics and not everyone would be able to. I mean, of course, we have this amazing ability to adapt, but it would be difficult to start off with. But to visit these places is amazing, and it does help you to remember, and it does increase your frequency. I mean, my work is mostly around increasing people's frequency and places. So, and if your frequency is high and your vibration is high, you remember your ability to see further and beyond. It's like you're freed, you know.
Okay, but what do we look out for? Like you're saying these, you need, you know, you're doing the vibrational shift for people, but how does it manifest that you're living on a ley line? Because I've heard, and I mean, this is just because I know very little. I'm going to tell you this now. I don't know how it influences me, and normally I would want to know how it influences me. In fact, ever since I heard about it, I want to know how it influences me. So how do you know you're on a ley line? What kind of behavioral patterns are there, or non-behavioral patterns, lives,
yes.
or
yes.
non-living creatures? Or
Yeah. So it will be different from human being to human being.
Okay.
You know, we all feel things differently. It's like we all see color slightly differently. But what it would definitely do, however you perceive it,
mm-hmm.
with whatever senses you are able to perceive it, what it will do is increase your frequency. You understand that everything in the universe vibrates. Everything is energy, even that which we don't see or we consider solid. So when something increases in frequency, which is how you measure vibration, what you do have is at higher frequency, you've got the feelings of love and caring and gratitude and grace and so on. And on the side of lower frequency, your feelings, your emotions would be
fear and hate and anger. And so your world becomes different when you live in high frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And these ley lines do provide with high frequency.
Okay.
So they transform you to a lesser or greater degree, depending how open you are to it.
Okay, I heard someone saying that when you, because now this is a complete opposite of what I heard someone saying.
Yes.
They said if you live in a lay on a ley line, basically it's kind of like from point to point to point. They apparently that's how you map them, point, and normally in that line, which is a straight line, nothing grows. People stay away from those spaces. Do you know?
What you have is you have lines of energy,
but, mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't even call them ley lines, but lines of energy all over the planet that crisscross.
Mm-hmm.
And some are what we would call negative, and some are what we would call positive.
Mm-hmm.
The negative ones, you can actually see the plants turn the other way. You understand that everything
right.
turns either clockwise or anti-clockwise. So the plants on a on what I would be then calling a negative line of energy, yes, that wouldn't be good for us.
And that can also be that, but those can also be ley lines.
No, our ley lines are more powerful lines. Those
okay.
I would consider simply lines of energy, and they crisscross. Yes, and they are straight and they crisscross like squares, but they're not squares. They just crisscross all the time. And yes, you should take note of those. But you will see. I mean, we are incredible as human beings. Mind you, you know, when people want to make money, maybe they don't care where they put the next house. But if given choice, we are incredible. We've got all these six senses that come into being,
mm-hmm.
and we can feel we don't feel comfortable somewhere.
So, I'm hopping back on this. Are you aware of what I just said now, that there are those schools of thoughts in
yes.
there where people go like, it sounds almost like it's a portal for the devil to travel or demons to travel in. So,
yeah.
And I'm highlighting this because there are many people who go like, oh, okay, I don't know. So ley line's not good. So you can come and, you know, you can give us a different sense of where we're at with this. So, because I was quite confused because I always thought it's good. And then somebody says, no, you know, that's how lesser spirits travel from point to point.
Yeah, no, we're not talking ley lines there.
Okay, so they've got the terminology wrong. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Ley lines, as far as I am concerned, are magnificent.
Okay. Can you clear ley lines? Or, you
yes.
know, can you?
Yes. Ley lines can be cleared.
So,
specifically, you can clear points on a ley line that where there's war or all sorts of things that have happened there. And those, they become, it's a little bit like a hose pipe that becomes a little bit squashed. And not as much energy goes through, or not as much water goes through. But yes, it can be cleared, and ley lines are being worked with all the time by those who understand how to do so.
But Dora, say there is something vibrationally negative happening in the vicinity of a ley line. You just said that it becomes a little bit blocked. Is it? I almost get the sense that such a vibrational something that raises frequency would amplify that negativity, or am I missing the plot here?
Yeah, normally the negativity that you find on the planet is human-made.
Mm.
You know, and we kind of have to take, I suppose, responsibility for it if we wish to. Ley line, to my understanding, does not, this is my understanding, I can only speak for me, does not amplify negative things.
Okay. And how about, you know, we as humans, we hardly ever think of this living planet we live on when we put down houses and electricity pylons. Now, what if there's an electricity high voltage cable running over a ley line or parallel with the ley line. Does that have an impact?
My understanding, it does a lot more harm to the humans than the ley line itself.
Okay, but with that electricity, that current neutralize the ley line, or what happens there?
The ley lines are like these powerful rivers running, and you can slow them down a little bit, and it's a little bit like a pebble, you know, a little bit of white water, but they will continue to run.
Okay. So electricity. So how do we have an effect, us as humans, have an effect on the ley lines?
Yes, we do, especially when there's war or violence of great degree. We block it a little bit. We don't stop it, but we certainly block it a little bit.
Okay. Now, you earlier explained this mesh of energy lines that can either be positive or negative.
Yes.
Do they have an effect on the people around those areas?
For what I consider negative, yes, of course, they have an impact, and we should do our very best to be mindful and feel rather than just think when we decide where we place our homes.
So I'm visualizing it, these negative and positive lines, almost as a grid. Would that qualify, now we're moving into to another topic, would that qualify as sacred geometry?
No. Sacred geometry...
Dora?
Yeah.
Sorry, sacred we lost you there.
Sacred geometry, I'm being quite... What I call sacred geometry, I'm being quite careful, because maybe some people call that sacred geometry. But for me, sacred geometry is that which comes from the void and makes everything that happens, including a human being. A human being will come from a sperm and an egg that comes together. That's two circles. It comes one, and then it quickly multiplies into 2, 4, 8, 16. And this makes what it's called a platonic solid, which is sacred geometry. And everything grows that way. You look at a pine cone, and it goes around and around. It's sacred geometry that brings it together. You look at a sunflower, the way it's sort of the seeds, the way they grow. You cut a cucumber, you cut an apple. It's all sacred geometry. The way leaves grow, they grow in a particular, you know, in a particular repeated cycle, shells. For me, that's sacred geometry.
I seem to remember vaguely some. Is it the Fibonacci numbers?
Yes, the Fibonacci and the golden mean spiral and cloud life. And yep, for me, that's what I consider sacred geometry.
All right. Now, when you started replying to this question, you referred to the void. Would that be where God resides?
Yeah, what some people call God, absolutely. Others call, you know, Buddha and Allah and the One and all that is and Source. You know, there are many names.
Mm-hmm.
It all means the same.
Mm. And
that which is the mystery of life, which we have great difficulty in understanding.
But which we also have a compulsion to seek.
Of course, we are it. we are like cells of a big body. So, of course, we will forever and have for since ever seeked it, because it is our most... our center, it's the flame within our core.
When you help people remember who they are, how do you go about that?
I certainly increase their frequency. I certainly support.
How do you do that, Dora? Do you sit in a circle and meditate, or how does it work?
Yeah, I do it in so many ways. I do it on one sessions. I do run courses. I do run classes. Everything that we've spoken of, and so much more. There are courses. There are classes. There are workshops.
Ones-on-ones.
I use any tool, like sound or my own frequency. You know, energetic vibration. To help people.
Dora, can I ask you something? You're saying that you raise people's vibrations. I thought we do that ourselves.
What I do is I help them to do so.
All right.
And my own frequency, people's frequencies, we affect each other.
I absolutely understand, but I also understand that there are moments in one's life, and especially when you come closer to finding out things that you can do to help yourself. So, you know, that when you go, like, because it sounds almost like a priest saying, "I can get you to heaven," kind of thing. Okay, that's really to the bone. But what I'm saying is there are people who will be going, "I can't do this myself. I have to find a Dora, or I have to find somebody to do it for me."
Yeah. All that people do, or rather all that I do, mm-hmm. is support people. You know, sometimes we just need someone to say, "Hey, have you looked there?"
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and then they look, and mm-hmm. then they find out, and, you know, where they, of course, need to look is within.
Okay.
As part of your work to help people remember, do you also do past life regressions with them?
Yes, I do, but I must say I do not do what is called recreational regression. I don't do the regression that people sometimes, they just want to know who they were, curiosity.
Okay.
I don't do that. I will support someone in regressing where they can see, experience, the event themselves, and it's so that they can let go of a block, so that they can let go of something that's holding them back. More often than not, it's our emotions that hold us back. We have traumas, and these are like frozen energetics that remain there until we are willing to let them go. So I do past life regressions, but not recreational.
Dora, do you also do soul regressions?
Yes.
Okay, and how is that different from past life regressions? I mean, I know you can learn from both, but I'm just, you know, because I don't think we haven't had someone who's done that on the show yet. So it would be interesting to get your take on that. Soul regressions.
Yeah, past life regressions have to do with when you are incarnated in a physical body, and soul regressions are very different. A soul, you know, it's got nothing to do with their physical bodies, though they may remember those. But it's to understand more what your purpose is, and that's such a loaded word.
Yeah, purpose.
As a soul, what you are in the pursuit of, what are you growing, evolving through, and remembering.
Mm-hmm. So what do people remember during their soul regression sessions?
Well, quite often what they are meant to be working with, you know. Some of us are meant to be working with unconditional love, and others to do with gratitude, and others to do with peace and joy. We all have our different flavors to take us back to the same place, which is source.
Is it easier to access our guides when we're in that space of soul regression, or is it? Okay. Do you wanna expand on how come?
Simply because your frequency, a lot of your boundaries or your defenses are down. Your frequency is high. You are much more open.
Really?
You are less. I want to say earthly bound by material things. And so, therefore, it's like opening doors that you normally don't bother to look into, you know. We kind of go around in this house of ours where we just look in one room at a time instead of exploring further.
Mm-hmm. And the names that souls have, are they similar to the ones that we get on Earth, or are they entirely different? Because even though
some of them I wouldn't even be able to give you a name. They just sound
really
very different. And some not, but majority. I would just say some of them you can't even pronounce.
Mm-hmm. And it stays the same through every lifetime.
In my understanding, my experience, guides change. Your ancestors obviously don't, but your guides do. Guides don't want to just there to teach you, they're there to learn themselves too. And so as you evolve as a soul, so do your guides.
You know, that's the second time I heard that this week. I did not think that guides are also here to learn.
Of course, we are all here to learn. There's this thing called evolution, and we are all a part of it.
So, Dora, then, what happens if a newly minted soul comes into, you know, this entire game that we call life, but all the guides and all the other souls are already so far evolved that that the soul struggles to keep up?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. I don't believe that we only evolve here on Earth. There's many other places in the universe. And so just because a soul may have its first physical incarnation on planet Earth is certainly to say that it is a young soul. This is not the only place that souls evolve.
That's nice.
All right.
So it could be an old soul, just in a different kind of body.
In a different dimension.
Earth kind of body.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I mean, I don't even know, you know, what to call old soul or a young soul. I mean, if we consider that we all were born at the same time, as far as I'm concerned, it's a big bang, then I think we just all have different experiences. And so someone who's come to Earth for the first time wouldn't have had that experience. That is not to say it's inexperienced.
Would that be a little bit like a transfer student coming to your school?
Yeah, I mean, I have new experiences every day.
Mm-hmm. When you take people to these places where you can sense the energy, like Cops a Whip and what did you say?
Adam's Calendar.
Adam's Calendar and Berg's
Luck. The Vasi line, yeah.
How do people react?
I've done lots of earth work around the world where people have come with, and they all react differently, you know. Some become incredibly joyful, some cry. There's tears that are joyful tears, you know. These places that touch inside of themselves that haven't been touched before.
So
I would call a new experience. And some people don't feel much at that exact moment, but later they can relate to a new, you know, new experiences or new understandings in themselves. So I wouldn't like to say this is how it happens, because it happens in so many different ways.
What is earth work?
Earth work is I've got very simple names for things, and earth work is...
It's okay, as long as you explain them to us.
Yeah, it's working with the planet, with the ley line, with the song line, and beyond, you know. That's earth work. That's working with Mother Earth. That's attempting to...
So,
evolve, expand. She is expanding too, not just us.
I've heard people say that Cape Town is, you know, the vibration in Cape Town is really high because of the situation or because of the ley lines.
Yes, Table Mountain is a spinner wheel.
Okay, so in that case, it is also the murder capital of the world. So how does that work?
Yeah. You know, it's like a rubber band. When you stretch a rubber band, you get both sides of the coin, you know, both sides of the rubber band. The more light there is, the more you see the dark. Okay.
So how do ley lines affect people in a city? So let's take Cape Town. So in practical ways now.
Yeah, certainly Cape Town is affected by Table Mountain, which is spinner wheels. There are four spinner wheels in the world. And
the what?
It's a spinner wheel.
Spinner wheel, okay.
Yeah, and it holds the element of earth. So we're now talking element of earth. You know, there are four elements.
Mm-hmm.
Air, water, fire, earth.
Right.
And then, of course, the fifth element, which is all of those together. Spinner wheel from Mother Earth, of the earth element, is Table Mountain.
All right. And then how would the ley lines affect, if you take into account that Table Mountain is the spinner wheel of the element earth?
That's slightly different from the ley lines. We've got ley lines, a male and a female ley line. Particularly, very strongly, the female ley line starts at St. George's Cathedral, and it runs up through Newlands and crosses at Constantinek with the male ley line, which starts at the castle, and it comes up through Devil's Peak.
Okay, so
I'm trying to see it in my mind.
But you know what? What's the significance of it? Because now it's a female and a male one. And how do they behave differently? And how then do they affect us differently? Because, you know, the ones...
They do.
So how do they do that? Let's start with a female.
The female ley line, you know, it's the yin. You know the yin-yang? It's the yin.
Yes.
It has that introspected. I mean, if I do healing, I'd much rather be at the ley line that is female. It allows for introspection, for going within, for the emotions and the feelings. Where the ley line is much more outward, expressive, not necessarily in a positive or negative way. Both these characteristics can be both of those.
So if I had
a law firm, I would rather put it on a male ley line.
Okay.
Or a commercial, you know.
All right. So what you're saying, if you could place buildings, you would place the law on the male side, and
hospitals on the female.
On the female.
Yeah, and the reason why I say that is. It's not a negative one. It's just that they require different things. It's like males typically drive really well, you know. Mm. I mean, I don't drive badly. I'm a female. But they drive particularly well. They've got this ability to look at a space and say, oh, 3x3, you know, need space. And the females will kind of go, how does it feel? And that's just as it should be. It's for balance. We need both those sides of the coin, right?
And then what happens when a male and a female ley line cross?
They do. They cross at Constantinople.
And then, what happens energetically?
It's unity. It's beautiful.
And what's the living area there like? Is it
amazing?
Is it okay? So, well, Lee, there's your ley line stuff.
Ley lines, interesting. Dora, thank you so
before
much.
Before she goes, can you clear? How do you clear blocked ley lines?
I certainly use sound. I certainly request that beings that work with me support me on it.
Okay.
I certainly, some people would call it pray.
Okay.
Intention, whatever word you want to use.
Good.
So
you could do use
crystals.
Like a space clearing. Say you in your home and you because you describe that you know your vibration is lower and you go like, hey, let me see, maybe I'm living on a ley line, maybe I'm not, but you can use those principles and clear your space and that'll help. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it will definitely help. One of the things I certainly do is space clearing for people.
Thank you.
Dora Diaz, thank you so much for your time on Beyond Ears and Eyes. That's it from us today. From me, Little Tom, take care now.
And from me, Shemaine. Have a wonderful day or evening or week further after listening to this podcast. Yay! Thanks, Palisa.
CliffCentral.com.